sorry to subject you to my voice tonight. I had a cold this week, and overnight it decided to move into my chest and is making breathing and talking and singing particularly difficult, so I apologize for that. Off the bat, and it's probably even going to be annoying to listen to my... I don't like the sound of my voice today, you know? Like, it just gets on your own nerves, but here we go. Last year, and I want to reiterate what Brad said. Last year, we tried to hold this service at our regular time. We're like, we're going anyway during the Super Bowl. And it didn't work out real well. I think that pretty much the band was here and maybe one other person. And we got home at halftime and enjoyed that and decided not to fight this year. What is already happening in so many people's lives and all of the excitement that surrounds the Super Bowl. And I know for me, I have to tell you, this first year, I really want to see the halftime show. I'm a Bruce Springsteen fan, so I'm pretty excited to see Springsteen. I hear others that don't even know it was him, but yeah, and his new album's out, and I got that this week. It's really good. Why am I giving Bruce Springsteen a commercial? I have no idea. but it's going to be a fun day, and as it always is. Coaching baseball last year and the year before, the kids I was coaching were getting to the age where they were allowed to steal. You know, after a few games, they were allowed to finally get to steal a base. And you'd be surprised how much time we coaches spent on teaching them how to steal. The rules are pretty simple. When the ball goes past the batter, run as fast as you can to the next base. But the hard part is that they want to look. They want to look in to the home plate to see if the catcher got the ball and to see if the catcher is going to get them. And we spent week after week, practice after practice, saying, look where you're going. Don't worry about the catcher. Don't worry about the ball. Just look straight ahead. Look where you're going. And it worked about 25% of the time. Because human nature is to look to where the problem is, to look at the problem and try and avoid it. So they would look to the ball. Are they going to get thrown out? And they didn't trust us coaches enough when we said, just run. Just run. Now, JT was on my team, and we were able to help him. He understood this, keeping your eyes on where you want to go, because JT has seen a couple of my proficient motorcycling DVDs. And there's an adage in proficient motorcycling that is simply this: the bike will follow your eyes. Look where you want to go. The bike will follow your eyes. In other words, if you're on the road and there's a pothole in front of you, don't look at the pothole. Look at the good part of the road where you want to go. Don't look at what you're trying to avoid. Look where you want to go. And so when doing a U-turn in the street, most motorcyclists look at the curb. And if you want to hit the curb, that's a great place to look. But instead they tell you, look around the corner and look where you want to go, not where you don't. This is our fourth week in Fireproof, and as we've been dealing with these relationship issues, with issues of what it's like to be in relationship with one another, one of the things that seems to be a recurring thing is that love is the choice, that we choose to be in relationships, and it takes an act of the will to continue in relationships. We make conscious decisions to build up rather than to tear down. We choose to make the other important in our lives. We choose our words. We choose to listen better. We choose to share the love that we've received from God with the people around us. And tonight, as we talk about temptation, I want to talk about choosing where we focus. Tonight's video clip that you saw is a scene where Caleb confronts one of the reasons his marriage is in trouble. Earlier in the movie, we find out that Caleb, when he's home alone, finds himself in front of the computer and dabbles in watching internet pornographic websites. He doesn't seem to see it as a problem. I mean, he seems to see it as a way of just kind of killing time. But we hear later from his wife, as she's talking with her mom, So he says, how can I compete with them? Talking about those websites. The problem of pornography is pervasive in our culture. Among men, it's the third largest addiction. One and two are drugs and alcohol, as you might suspect. And number three is pornography. It's pervasive. The numbers from the Triple X Church, I don't know if you guys have heard of Triple X Church, but they're a group that's actively fighting against pornography in the culture. And they say upwards of as many as 90% of men struggle with this on some level. Not all addicted, but struggle with it on some level. And it's hurting people. It's hurting the people in our lives, and it's also hurting the people who are caught up in this industry. It's a societal injustice that exploits people. And, you know, we get to that part of the movie, and we could say, you know, I don't have that problem, so no big deal. I don't have a problem with pornography. I don't really care. But did you notice what he was looking at when the girl popped up? He was looking for his boat. And if you've seen the movie, he has about $25,000 saved up for a boat. And it's one of the sources of the arguments between husband and wife, because he says, that's my money. He saved up this $25,000. Even though there's family financial need, that's his for a boat. The boat in the movie is a symbol of Caleb's selfishness. And so I wonder if he's not involved in the temptation before that ever pops up. When he's sitting there at the computer just staring at this dream that he seems to have of, if he just had a boat. If he just had a boat, everything would be wonderfully perfect. And even before the obvious temptation, there's another one. That fantasy life of things are going to be better. And the question is, where are Caleb's eyes? Where is he looking? Is he looking at the road that's in front of him, or is he looking at something that's probably not where he wants to go? Caleb goes to the book, the 40-day love dare he's been working through, a good place for his eyes, and he reads about the parasites that he needs to rid himself of. And I'll tell you, I don't know that I agree with his method of taking his computer outside and beating it with a baseball bat. What's that? It's fun. And one of the recurring themes in the movie, I think this is two out of three times that his elderly neighbor catches him beating something up with a bat or kicking a garbage can or doing something. And there's anger issues here too. But and watching somebody beat a computer with a baseball bat, I've wanted to do that so many times, you know, when the hard drive just freezes up. Let me just beat this thing. There's a release there that feels really good, just watching him get the opportunity to do that. So I'm not real thrilled with his manner of dealing with the problem. And I think part of it is because we struggle with telling ourselves where not to look, what not to look at. I think the mistake we make is to tell people to stop thinking about those things. There's an old, goofy psychological game where you tell someone that they can think about anything in the world, picture anything in your mind except a pink elephant with purple polka dots. And what's the one thing you see? A pink elephant with purple polka dots. Were you thinking about it before I brought it up? No. But when I tell you not to think about it, it starts to just invade your thought process over and over and over again. And the temptation becomes bigger instead of smaller. It becomes more a part of your life rather than less of a part of it. It's not driven away because we're thinking about avoiding it. It becomes more invasive. Those of us that have been on diets know exactly what this is about too. If I think about the ice cream in the refrigerator that I'm not supposed to have, well, that can go about 24 hours. The next night, if it's still there, and I've been thinking about it for 12 hours, I'm having it. I mean, there's just this idea that the more we think about it and say, I'm thinking about not doing it, that doesn't really help us all that much. It just makes us think about it all the more. And so, what is the solution? How do we deal with this? The answer for me isn't fighting the things that we don't want, but elevating the things that we do. And I steal this principle from a guy who's one of those parenting of teenagers guys. His name is Walt Mueller, and he runs a place in Pennsylvania called the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, and he does things for culture and helping parents understand youth culture. I learned about cutting for the first time 15 years ago from Walt Mueller before anybody knew what it was. Walt knew, and he told us all. He asked us in a seminar, what's cutting? And everybody said, leaving class, you know? It's like, no, that's not what it is. And he gave us this whole explanation of what cutting was. What Walt says is that for years, parents had been going into their kids' houses, or kids' rooms, and saying, turn down that music and listen to me. And he said the answer is not so much getting them to turn it down as much as it is to turn up what you want to say. And that doesn't mean yell at them. It means get your influence to be more and more in your children's lives. The solution, he says, is not to fight to have our teens turn down the negative cultural influences in their lives, to hide those bad things from them. He said instead, the key is to turn up the positive things in their lives as well. And so they have the tools then to combat the negative influences. You don't spend all of your energy talking about the things to stay away from. Instead, you spend the majority of your focus lifting up the positive things in your children's lives. Filling your children with the positive tends to squeeze out the room for the negative. I'll give you an example, and this is probably a negative example, but it's one of my pet peeves as a youth pastor, and it's this. Parents, when they want to punish their children, sometimes don't let them come to youth group. And I think, oh no, of all the things. I understand my kid likes youth group and I can get their attention by saying you can't go to youth group if you do that. But Walt would say just the opposite. Turn up the positive instead of fighting the negative all the time. Keep the positive moving and strong in the lives of our children and in the lives of each one of us. See, I think that's what the Bible lesson for tonight, I think that's what Paul was going after in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Fill yourselves with the good stuff. How do we do that? I think the answer lies in the verses immediately preceding that, and that's why we read from much earlier in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 5. It simply says this, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean revel in him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Love God and love people. Yeah, we just keep coming back to that over and over and over again. Love God and love people every day. Fill yourself with the good, godly stuff. And it's not all getting caught in the Christian music or in the Christian radio stations. I mean, you can do positive things in so many ways in filling your lives, in reading good books or making sure that you're in your Bible in prayer every day, listening to positive things in your life in the radio or podcasts, immersing yourself in the things that really make a positive outlook on our lives and on ourselves. It's not so much about turning down the negative, about pushing that thing out, as much as it is about bringing God closer and closer into our lives. Beating the computer with a baseball bat really doesn't solve the problem. We can always go get another computer. Later in the movie, we see, though, what I think Caleb did the right thing, is that when his wife comes home in the place of where the computer was, there's roses for her. And so he took away that negative influence and replaced it with the positive. He took his eyes off of where they shouldn't have been and put them where they should be. Having our eyes focused on where we want to go. Having our eyes focused on God. Because our body will follow our eyes. Anybody still fighting the pink elephant with the purple polka dots? Yeah, as soon as you bring it up, I see it again. It's amazing how often we tend to go where we're looking, where we're focused. And the idea is not necessarily to just say, I've got to get rid of that so much, as it is to bring in the good. And bring in, turn up God's voice in your lives. The focus should be to love God and love the people around us. And everything else, the boat, the job, all that other stuff that tempts us and draws us away, comes afterwards. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word to us. Because sometimes, God, it just seems like we want to fight. We want to fight against the things that we know should not be in our lives. And it's so hard. And we can get so weary just fighting and fighting. God, remind us that that's not the life that you have called us to. And instead, you've called us to a life where we live in you, where you live in and through us. And as the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. God, help us to continue to get filled more and more every day with your Holy Spirit, so that we don't even have to fight anymore. Because you are working in us and through us. Strengthen us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the challenge of the week, and I don't have a handout for you today, but your weekly challenge is this: to find ways to fill that verse from Philippians 4:8. To fill your minds and meditate on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. And as you do so, ask yourself a couple of questions. How is this focus changing other things in your life? And how are you seeing the effects of this change? I think you'll find remarkable things happen when your life is filled not with the worries and the cares of the world, but with what God is doing in you and through you and in the people around you. Let's sing together.